So this morning, let's talk about this whole area. I want to talk to you this morning about living in the promised land. You know, isn't it better to live in the promised land than to live in just enough? Isn't it better to live in having more than enough than just your supply? Isn't it better to have excessive rather than just your amount to get by in life? And so I want to speak into this area this morning. We can all live in the promised land. And before I even go any further, though, just whatever level you've come in at this morning, it's okay. God loves you. If you're not in the promised land yet, there are measures of faith. It's fantastic. It's great that God loves you. You're accepted. You're loved. God's well pleased with you. But the idea is that as we mature in Christ, we also mature in our giving because we honor God through what He has done through us and for us. Is that clear this morning? Everyone's accepted by God. Everyone who's, whether you believe, but I want to tell you this morning that you can believe and you can believe. I'll explain that. All right. So today is a day in our church to make history. It's a day to make history in your own personal life, not just in this church. It's as we do it together, as Dom's explained, we can achieve far more than with a few. Come on, show the grapes. I don't know about you, but I want to live in the... Whoa, who'd like a bunch of grapes like that? So I'm talking about... I just obviously grabbed the illustration. It's I think it's Iran where that picture's taken. But a fantastic big bunch of grapes, you know, obviously from Joshua days. So, you know, we'll get to this. I'll talk into this morning. Let me go to Haggai because that's been our key scripture for this particular... building fund, our future fund. Your wages disappear as though you're putting them in pockets filled with holes. God was saying through Haggai, you've got rich, fat, and lazy. How long will you put off doing my will? You could pretty much compare it to the way we live. And it's a really interesting analogy, in fact. And so Haggai was saying to God's people, hear me, know who I am and know who you are. You are God's children. I'm going to bring blessing into your world as you honor me and my house. Very clear. You can read Haggai. It's only two chapters. It's very, very quick to read. And so the God's people at this time, God spoke through the prophet Haggai. And said through Haggai, he could have said just like this, church, get your priorities in order. Respond to me, make right where you have wronged, and let's get on with doing the kingdom work rather than your own work and see the difference it makes in your family, in your life, and in the whole of the whole city as you honor me first. And so maybe it's just a matter of having our lives fully committed to God. But then I know as we walk out of here, there's so much things that fill our lives. There's stuff that we've got to do. But if we're honest with ourselves, it means we are putting aside what God has commanded us to do. So I want to talk into this morning. Because I love this psalm, Psalm 68, verse 19. I'm going to refer back to my original message a couple of weeks ago. In parts, but I'm going to expand it this morning. Praise the Lord, praise God our Saviour. Who believes that this morning? Praise the Lord, praise God our Saviour. And then it goes on, for each day He carries us in His arms. God wants to carry us. And so I think it gets down to, we know when we're being carried by ourselves or through our own steam, or whether in fact we're being carried by God, and the difference is our faith. We miss God's provision. We miss being carried by Him because we fail to put His promises first in our lives. The Jews had a lot of problems. I don't know about you, but I've got a few myself. There's always challenges. There's also always problems in our life. But they failed to associate some of those problems, or most of those problems in Haggai's case, in Israel's time, with the fact that they were not zealous enough to build God's house. And so Haggai says in 1 verse 5, consider how things are going for you. Consider how things are going for you. See, God wants us to learn his principles so he can keep his provision flowing into our lives. Our obedience is tied with the provision and his overflow comes into our life as we're obedient in what he wants us to do. And so number one, keep a budget. Those of you who don't have a budget, I would encourage you to keep a budget. Why? If nothing else, go to the budget slide. If nothing else, it keeps God's priorities first. You put your tithe at the top. That's a tenth according to Scripture. That's God's. That shows that you belong, what? To God. That's first and foremost that you belong to him. And then there's offerings. And, you know, in Malachi, it talks about this, that we bring our tithes and offerings and don't rob God. And so God does say that if God speaks to us about what we are to bring offerings to, that we need to honor what God wants us to do, and that's our step of faith, and then God is able to meet some of those other budget things that may not seem like you can do it. But what would you rather do? Would you rather trust God or your own self? And so we step into the promises of God. We step into the promised land. We step into faith by trusting God. And we say, well, I can't possibly do that. If you always look at the black line, you will never do what God wants you to do and you'll never fulfill the huge promises that God wants to bring great blessing into your life. Incredible blessing comes as we put faith to the test this morning. And I'll talk about this a little bit more today. Why do we need to keep a budget again? Because God's portion is our top priority. And you will be living in one of three lands as a Christian. You believe in God, you'll be living in one of three lands. Maybe not so much the first one here in Australia. But we can live in Egypt. And we'll likely be in poverty and subject to the Israelites. What happened to them? They were subject to, they were oppressed, nothing went right for them, they were subject to everybody else. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a good place to live, does it? Second, we can live in the wilderness, in the provision of God. What happened in the wilderness? Did they get everything that they needed to live? They had supply, they had quail, they had wafer biscuits. They had enough to live on, right? They did. God supplied their needs. But then there's another land. Then there's a better land. Then there's what? The promised land. The promised land. It's faith. It's your faith for more than enough. That's prosperity. Poverty. Here's a description of it. Having little or no means to support oneself, lacking pleasure, comfort, and satisfaction. In the Bible, poverty is associated with God's curse for disobedience, laziness, or bondage. What did Jesus say about poverty? Psalm 23, the Lord is my, I shall not be in want. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Why? So that through his poverty, you and I might become rich. Rich. People often don't get that. And so I want to speak into this morning. You belong to God through your tithe. Is that right? You belong to God through your tithe. He becomes your shepherd, Psalm 23. And like Corinthians, like Paul talks about, that's that, 1 Corinthians 16 talks about that as well. No Christians who stay in the position for too long of being in a poverty state, even in developing nations, I'm hearing now, even of our they've got some troubles, and obviously geographically that can be an issue. But once we get a hold of the vision of God, things start to change so that we can not, Pastor Colley, I talked about it the first week. He had a motorbike for himself, but another pastor needed a motorbike. God provided another motorbike so that he could give another one away. See, that's more than just poverty. That's actually starting to see God bless. And so we should always be looking for what God can do so that we can help others. Is that right? We've got to help others. Second, so that's poverty. Second, God's provision. In the wilderness, God provided quail, bread, like I've talked about, miraculously, water from a rock. The supply was enough for themselves. Here's a quote from John Avanzini, who's well recognized in Christian circles on the subject of finance. He's well, people go to him on lots of areas in this respect. This is what he says. This land, so we're talking about God's provision. This land is a land of just enough. Enough for who? Me. It is a selfish land. It is hard for many to grasp just having enough, let alone grasping that God intends for you to have more than enough. Many Christians live in this land. But it is not the best land. He can provide his supernatural flow into our lives when we live in the third land. It's a mindset, it's an attitude that we choose. We choose to live in faith, we choose not to be subject to, we choose not to just have enough, we choose to be a blessing. That in itself allows God's not just provision, but allows him to actually filter areas back into our life that get covered so that we even have not just enough, but more than enough. And I'll explain it. In Deuteronomy 8:18, it says this, "And you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the power to get what? Wealth. That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers." So first, budget. And put God first and think about, pray to God like with our faith promise program, and we actually ask God for the amount, and because then we're living in an area of faith. I want to explain this as we get along this message a little bit further. So first bit budget, second give. Give, if you're in the first land, you might give occasionally, but it's kind of like, oh yeah, I've got a couple of dollars, I'll do that, or whatever. You may not, well, you definitely won't be tithing. If you're a Christian, you believe in God, and you're in the first land, you definitely won't be tithing, because when you tithe, what happens? God brings supply. Are we clear on that? God brings supply. We may find ourselves in the first land for a little while, but we shouldn't stay there. We should not stay there, particularly in Australia. Second land, we tithe the minimum. What we are actually doing, so if you give more than just a tithe, that's great, fantastic. You want to be generous? Awesome. It helps build the ministry of this house. That's all fantastic. But if we just do the minimum that God requires, you know, you will have enough for what you need. But as John Avanzini said, do we want to just have enough for ourselves, or would we like to be a blessing to others? It's sufficient. It's minimum. So we can get stuck as Christians in this second level. Our needs are met, but that's about it. But we can choose to live in the promised land. We can choose to live in a state of prospering. So the tithe is God's portion. He's our shepherd. He's the best man by our side. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I know that God's got things covered for my life. But the promised land comes into play through our faith giving. We adopt a different mindset to live in the promised land. See, multiple times in Haggai, God says, consider how things are going for you. Now, these people, they actually had houses very similar to us. It says they were living in luxurious houses, but they'd forgotten about God, so they had holes with pockets in them. And when God's people align themselves with the vision of God's heart, it is going to get better and better and better for God's people. And so we can live in the promised land. My third point, live in the promised land. Haggai says this once the people turn around. They say, yeah, we've got to get this right, Haggai. You're quite correct. God says this, I am giving you a promise now. While the seed is still in the barn, before you've harvested your grain, and before the grapevine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have produced their crops, from this day onward, I will bless you. It's as much as a mindset, an attitude to say, you know what? I'm trusting God for his provision. But not only that, God, what would you like me to do? How would you like me to build your house? That's what they were saying. What can I get involved in? Yes, we've got to work. Amen. We've got to be good stewards. Yes, we've got to put principles into place throughout God's word. But ultimately, when it comes to our financial lives as Christians that have been around for a while, it gets down to, you know what? I'm going to trust God. I'm going to give him something in faith for our future, the building fund or whatever church you belong to. And we see the vision of God's house go forward. What happens? What aligns itself is your personal vision gets aligned with the provision of God, and you have more than enough as well. That's the principle in the Bible. And together, applying God's financial principles in our lives, we can have our best, our future ever this year. Our best ever. I'm surprised no one said, you know what? That's right, Nigel. You know, come on. This is about rising in our faith level and saying, come on, God, what is it that I can do like the people of Israel did and say, you know what, I've got to get involved. And together they did. You know, Haggai is one of the only prophets in the Bible that the people listened to. Within 23 days, they turned around. Within 23 days, they said, you know what, you're right. They repented. They got their lives back in order. And they started to serve the house of God like they never had before. And suddenly they had, well, suddenly their soul was prospering, number one. Let's get that right, hey? But more than that, no longer were their pockets filled with holes. No wonder whether it was this and this and everything comes to escape. And I'm going to get to that before we finish this message this morning. You see, if I was to go back to my budget, let's go back there just for a second, back to the budget. Dylan, thanks, doing a great job. On that budget, if we go back there, I can't see it on that screen. If we go back there, you know, we got our tithes and we got our offerings, and you feel like God's saying to you, you know what? Maybe your income's around $100,000 between you and your spouse, and you've already $10,000 is gone, and you come to your offerings. And you can look at it two ways, and this is what's happening in Haggai's time. They're going, well, I can give $1,000. That's 1%. I'm just like, we've got to trust God with what he wants us to give. Now, if God says, yep, because I don't know anybody's circumstances, so don't get me wrong here, but we want to live in God's realm, not in our own. God's realm, isn't that true, church? I'd rather live in God's realm, not my own. See, faith is needed for income. Once you've planted seed, that's what the Bible's saying, that's what Haggai says. Faith is needed for income. Wisdom is needed for expenditure. And so when you've got a budget, you can go, well, Lord, I've got a shortfall here, but I'll tell you what, I'm trusting you here. I'm expecting that money. I'm calling it in. And what happens? You're allowing God into that part. I'm not saying that we go nuts and we go stupid. I'm saying that we trust God more than we do ourselves. That's why it's important to budget. You can see how God works. It allows you to stretch your faith. You see how God provides in the areas that are shortfall. Let me talk about Caleb for a moment. It's amazing to me that the Israelites spied out the land and could see how fantastic it was. But they could not bring themselves to conquer the giants. But Caleb was a giant killer. And you have to fight for the wonderful land. Each and every one of us is a Christian. There is spiritual war going on. There is an enemy that does not want the kingdom of God to progress. And so you have to fight and allow your faith to conquer and not the world to conquer. And that's what Caleb did and Joshua. It's a fight of faith. And Caleb says, this is what he says, he will give it to us. He turned to the people and he said, he will give it to us. He nearly got stoned for it. And God says, at that moment, how long? This is what God said to the people at that time. They wanted to go in the promised land. Caleb's got faith for it. Joshua's got faith for it. The rest of them, they'd seen how big the grapes were, as you've seen. But they saw the giants. And God says back to the people, how long will these people reject me? See, you can thrive at 85. Look at this. Today I'm 85 years old. This is Caleb. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So I am asking you to give me the hill country as my own promised land. You will remember, he goes on, that as scouts we found the Anakites living there, that's the giants, in great walled cities. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. You can drive out the giants of in your own life. You can drive out the giants financially by putting these principles into practice. You can drive out the giants of thinking you're only here. God can produce a huge vision for you and your household as you put God first. You can drive out the giants by being faith-filled and not going first to the areas of your life and think, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. You've got to, if we're Christians, what God was saying to the people was, well, are you with me or are you with the world? You've got to get with me and my plans for you, not your own. If you keep looking down there, you're never going to progress. So back to Haggai. The Lord asked the Israelite priests a question. If one of you is carrying a holy sacrifice in his robes, all right, so he's got his offering. And he happens to brush against some bread. Don't forget, first of all, it's a holy sacrifice. So it's given according to what God wanted him to give. It's holy. It comes directly from heaven. Him and his wife, or his, as a single person, they've obeyed what God wants them to do. In consideration of their income, as I've described, with the budgets and all that. If it touches or brushes against some bread or stew, wine or oil or any kind of food, will it also become holy? The priests reply, no. It can't be defiled when it has come straight from heaven, what God wants you to do. It's holy. It hasn't been tainted. It's God's. It's seen as a powerful offering. It's seen as something magnificent in God's sight. Then Haggai asked, but if someone becomes ceremonially unclean, touching a dead person, and then brushes against any of the things mentioned, will he be defiled? And the priests answer, yes. What influences our giving determines its effectiveness. Faith comes directly from God. If you're always being rubbed off by the world and you're influenced by what's going on with all the things around you, it can be tainted. And God wants us to bring more than a defiled offering. He wants to bring our best. He wants us to bring our best. And then Haggai said that is how it is with people and this nation, says the Lord. Everything they do and everything they offer is defiled. So think about this from now on. Consider how things are going for you before you began to lay the foundation of the Lord's temple. In other words, he wanted them to remember how things were. He was being strong with them and saying, no longer be rubbed off by this world. Follow me and the vision I have for you, the vision of the house of God, and you will see your lives go from just supply to the promised land. So let me ask you a question this morning. Are your promises, because we're calling them faith promises, are your promises, are they alive or are they dead? It's everything that gets rubbed off. Oh yeah, I can give that. If you don't have to think about how much you can give, I'm telling you, it's probably going to be a little bit dead at least. Because we've got to allow our God to impact us. Because God wants to bring more than just enough into your world. He wants you to live in the promised land. He wants you to have the huge grapes. He wants you to have enough so that we can help one another, and so that when circumstances and tragedies do happen, we can supply their needs. So that in Africa and all these other areas around our world, we can be a blessing. So that here in this community, we can be more of a blessing than we are now, because no longer do we have a huge mortgage. We have the ability to be able to do so much more. So when we give little attention to building of God's house, we cannot expect much in return from God. All the stuff we have to do in life, all the stuff we have to pay for, the things we need, the desires we have, it rubs off on our thinking. And our thinking and our subsequent actions become subject to the world and his thinking. Our offering is brushing up against the world. We're going to end up back in Egypt. I don't know about you, but I don't want any one of us to end up back in Egypt through our thinking. So our offerings need to come out of honor for God rather than being tainted by the world. The world and its desires, what happens to them? They pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. And that's what John was saying last week, that the promises of God, and I'm looking forward to going to heaven. It's a good, well done, good and faithful servant. It's our call. It's our call how we live our life. So we can be extremely good at lip service Christianity. And I actually think that's what John Avancini was referring to. But there is a better land. While I'm your pastor, I want all of us to get into the promised land. This is not about income. This is nothing to do with income. This is an attitude. Every person can get involved in this, whether you're on $10,000 or less a year. We can bring something that honors God. When you trust God like Caleb did, when you live in faith and determine not to make decisions based in this world, you can ask for the promised land. Caleb remains faithful, remains strong all his life, and it's interesting to me that Caleb and Joshua entered the promised land, but all the others did not. It's an attitude. We've got to have faith in our hearts. We've got to allow God to stir within us. That's why Haggai again says, I'm giving you a promise now while the seed is still in the barn. So much of this is a mindset. And before you have harvested your grain, and before the grapevine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have produced their fruits, from this day onward, I will bless you. From this day onward, I will bless you. From this day onward, I will bless you. Hey, Paul. From this day onward, I will bless you. Whatever your circumstances, you can know that God is blessing you and your measure of faith is growing and you're seeing God bring you up to a whole nother level. So yes, budget. Give generously and live in the promised land through faith. Because when you live in faith, you live in a far bigger life. You're living far bigger than everyone else. Other people you'll talk to, they'll go, I just don't get it. And they won't, because you're living in the promises of God. When we, his people, place our priorities in God's order, our worship is stronger. I don't know about you, but when we're faith-filled as a congregation, can you imagine God's power in this place? Oh, I'd love to see more miracles happen in the house of God. love to see God quick healings. I'm convinced that my foot's not broken because you laid hands on it 2 weeks in a row. You just came up and said, "Can I pray?" Thanks, Mel, wherever you are. You're here this morning. And Charlie, the week before, you know, let's live in faith land, not in this land. It's a powerful place to live. Together today, we can make a transaction in our natural lives through what we prioritize, and we can bring down heaven. Let me finish with this. We're going to take up an offering or our faith promises. We're going to collect those in a moment. You know the ways to give. You know, I said I'd give an opportunity for people to put them in the buckets this morning before we close. You can't defeat Goliath with your mouth shut. But I'm telling you, if you're not living in the faith realm, you're not going to be speaking out what you need. You can't defeat Goliath with your mouth shut. And so we have reason to open our mouths and pray when we depend on Him. And we will see God defeat our giants and enemies. What did David do? He cried out, "How dare you, you Philistine?" Why was he able to do that? Because God had deposited faith in the inside, and he was living in faith regardless of what all the other people were believing. He had faith in his God. So we can apply the same weapon to our financial fears and challenges and watch our giants come down one by one when we apply the weapon of faith to our world. Faith to our finances. And so today is the day to put our priorities straight and live in the promised land. If you haven't already, fill in a faith promise card. If you need to do that, have time to do that, please. See the information desk. You should have got one on the way in. And let's together watch what God does in so many lives and in this house for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray before we take up these faith promises. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're an incredible God. I thank you, Lord, that we can live in the promised land. And I pray today that each one of us will grow in our measure of faith, whichever area we are living in right now. I thank you, Lord, that we will not only belong, but we will be builders of your house. In the mighty name of Jesus, the people of God said, amen, amen.